Welcome to the weekly podcast of Upper Room Christian Fellowship in Lincoln, Nebraska. Thank you for listening.
If you would stand for the reading of the word, we are in Romans chapter 12. Lord willing, we're going to finish this chapter this morning. Romans chapter 12. We'll start off verse 9. We'll back up and we'll get a running start here. Verse 9. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one for evil for evil. Have regard for good things to the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word is truth. And thank you, Lord, for again, just the extreme to us that this would be, Father, apart from ourselves. To do this in our own strength would be impossible. But thank God we have the Holy Spirit guiding and directing us and empowering us and encouraging us. Lord, as we come to these troubled times, Lord, we pray that you would help us to be again beacons of light, an ointment of soothing oil, a love, Lord, that is genuine. Bless our time together, and we pray, Father, that you would have your way with us, especially as we prepare our hearts for the communion table. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In verse 9, again, we see that love without hypocrisy, it needs to be genuine. In verse 10, we see love others in the church, the family, love putting others before yourself. Verse 11, doing wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Verse 12, which we talked about last week, rejoicing in our hope, which is in Christ, who is with us in tribulation, working out all things for his purpose, his glory, to be in constant communication with him who loves us. We're living in interesting times. Now, as Mark has kind of alluded to, man has been elected into the Oval Office. And it has created a stir because, again, the country is somewhat divided right now. And there's a lot of, if you will, hate speech. So regardless of what aisle you're on, there's something here that God wants us to know and learn and grow from. And how do we, you know, navigate through these waters? Well, if you will, it's interesting how this is going to be laid out, because not only we're going to be looking at what we're supposed to do at this time, but also what is our responsibility next week in navigating through the government, regardless who's in office. So remember, our King is the King of Kings. He's above all. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the one that is sovereign. He's in control. It's him that we do all things for his purpose and for his glory. Not a party, not an ideology, not a politician, but him. And so really the mandate that we're going to look at right now is from the King through Paul. Because we'll see Christ throughout this. Now, notice again, this is also inclusive. What I mean by that is a lot of this too has to do with family. We're a family, you and I. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, every one of us. There's no grandparents here in God's kingdom. There's no babies, if you will, in God's kingdom in the sense that this is our son or daughter. No, we're brothers and sisters. So looking at and knowing that, look at verse 13, you'll see that it says distributing. It means to come into communion or fellowship with, become a sharer to the needs of who? The saints. Us brothers and sisters. Treating each other in the church as family and helping where we can with their needs. Physically and spiritually, and we're going to see emotionally here too. Given to hospitality, that word given means to seek after. Hospitality, you might be surprised, it means to be a friend or a lover of strangers. Now, again, at the church at this time, they didn't have what you'd call Hiltons or Motel Sixes or whatever you want to call, whatever hotel. What would happen is these itinerant preachers would come from town to town and Christians would travel. And the idea here is you put them up. You give them a bed to sleep in. You give them food. You show hospitality. In this culture, it was a big thing. Now, in ours, we do have to be somewhat careful. I get that. Only because of just the craziness of this world right now. But it still doesn't take away the responsibility that we have to treat people with love and respect, especially as you have your house to open up to others. Now, some have the gift of hospitality. I live with one. My wife is very much a woman that has the gift of hospitality. Welcoming. When you come into our house, she treats you as if you were royalty. She always has. It's a gift, but it's one that we should all really strive to participate with. And we do that too with life groups. When you open your house to the life group, what you're doing is you're opening up for hospitality. So we're in practice too, and we're doing it. But it's something to always take note of is that to do it, as Peter says, without grumbling. Now that might kind of stab a little, but to do it without grumbling. And as we learned in Hebrews, if you do so, and really it's not just in Hebrews, it's in Genesis, that in doing so, some have actually entertained angels. Now, again, if you ask Kevin over, which he's not here, so I'll definitely pick on him, don't expect him to be an angel. Now, I know he's close, but he's not. But still, the idea is to have an open heart to others. A caring for others. Seeing if you have the need and I have the means to be able to meet that need. Now look at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, like I was saying, in social media right now, we do have a lot of people attacking each other. That should not be so with us as believers. There's been this attitude that, well, that's the way they fight, so we're going to do the same thing. Well, bless means to ask God's blessing on those. Who what? Who persecute? What does that mean? It means to pursue in hostile manner. Also says, do not curse. Don't fight fire with fire. Bless. Now, the word is a word that is a root word that we use eulogy for, which means speak well. You don't see too many people when they die, all of a sudden they say, well, I heard one guy that died. He was a scoundrel and the pastor was trying to find something good to say about him. And he was stuttering. And then he said, well, he always dressed nice. But that's the idea of a eulogy. Isn't it interesting that somebody can be pretty much a scoundrel, then all of a sudden they die and they become a saint? It's because it's that idea of speaking well of that person when they die. But see, again, we're asked here to speak well and to bless those who persecute us. Jesus put it this way. I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. So as we see these words being thrown across the aisle, as we see the mud being slung, it's not for us. And again, if you have posts in social media and such, and you see things that you totally disagree, then tremble and really tread prayerfully in what God would have you answer or not answer. It's very important for us to understand that these times we do not need to be those that sling mud. Peter talked this way about Jesus. "For you recall because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously." So as Jesus as our example, we too must understand that it's not for us to be the mudslingers, not the mud packers, not the ones that are getting the balls ready. No, that's not for us. We must always understand that we have to be lights in this world. That just as our Lord suffered, that we too must understand that we too may suffer through words. Look at verse 15. "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Now, that word rejoice means also not to be envious or jealous, but to rejoice with their blessing. Can we do that? Is it hard sometimes, isn't it? Somebody's being promoted or good things are happening. They're all happy and you're kind of like, you're envious or jealous. Well, again, Paul's saying by the Holy Spirit, rejoice with those. Understand, God lifts up one and brings another one down. It's rejoice when those good times happen. I don't know if you know this, but life is like a roller coaster ride. Have you noticed that? There's ups and there's downs. There's ups and there's downs. It's life. Things happen. And us as believers, remember going back, we rejoice in what? Our hope. We have hope. This is not our world. Not the way it's reigned right now. So our mind is always, there's something better waiting for us. A celestial city, if you will, a Lord who loves us. So it's important for us to understand that as these things are working out, is that when somebody has something joyful to be praising about, we rejoice with that person. But also it means weep with those who weep. Now, this is harder. Why? Because, well, it's sometimes you don't know what to say when somebody is weeping, when somebody's hurting, when somebody's going through a tough time. So it's easier just to pass by. But see, we all need sympathy. We all need those who care for us. Remind us we're not alone. That pain, when you are in pain, I'm in pain. And that's a family attitude, isn't it? If something happens to one of my children, I feel it. If something happens to one of my siblings, I feel it. If something happens to my brothers and sisters in Christ, I feel it. You do too. But see, the point here is to not pass on by. And maybe you have nothing to say, but just to listen. And you know what? That means a lot. But again, that's family. Have you noticed the world is weeping right now? It's to be able to understand, to be sympathetic. See, we have hope. The world without hope is a place of mourning. Not you. We rejoice in hope. Let's look at verse 16. "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion." Same mind. It means agreed together. Cherish the same views. Be harmonious. Find common ground in Christ in the world. Toward one another. It means a modest opinion of each other. Do not set your mind on high things. Do not seek one's interest to have an advantage over another, whether it's honor, whether it's prestige, influence, or riches. But associate with the humble, the ones that are selfless and full of Christ esteem. Christ esteem. Be wise in your own opinion. Self-esteem. Example again is Jesus, right? See, we in this world, these those walking around, again, look for the advantage that you can have over another. Whereas we're not to. We're to have Christ esteem. I like what John Phillips wrote about Jesus. He says, it has been well said of the Lord Jesus that his life and death are a standing rebuke to every form of pride to which men are liable. Pride of birth and rank? Is not this the carpenter's son? Pride of wealth? The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. Pride of respectability? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Pride of personal appearance? He hath no form nor comeliness. Pride of reputation? A friend of publicans and sinners. Pride of learning? How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Pride of superiority? I am among you as he that serveth. Pride of success? He's despised and rejected of men. Pride of ability? I can of my own self do nothing. Pride of self-will? I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Pride of intellect? As my Father has taught me, I speak. Isn't that funny? Isn't it interesting how we spend so much time trying to get an edge over others? How we want to feel good about ourselves? How do we feel good about ourselves? Let's go on. I'll leave you hanging there. Verse 17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Don't try to get even. Have regard means to take thought beforehand. Good things means beautiful, proper, honorable, and godly things. How you respond, others are watching. So looking at this again, pay no one for evil, but have regard for good things in the sight of men, is not paying evil for evil, but actually doing good. What is honorable, is pure, what is lovely, what is good to report. People are watching us. Why? Because we have hope. And when you have hope, there's never a disparity. When we come in here, it's a place of hope. You sing it. I hear it. Man, you guys were loud this morning. I love it. Why? Because you know God inhabits the praises of his people. And as I was reminded again today, as we are rejoicing and worshiping in heaven, the same is happening. You're joining in the heavenly choir. And the chorus of all creation. Psalm says even the trees and rocks, they sing out. And you sing along. But see, you're not forced to. You've come to that tree, that wooden tree, that tree that he hung on. And you've entered now into a way of hope, of life, of everlasting. You're different. You're marked out. You're his. This life is temporary, and we none of us have guarantees that everything is going to go smooth the way we want. But one thing we do have, that guarantee that he walks with us every step. And he's seeing us through the dark times, the good times, the times that right now, for some of us, there's a glimpse of hope that some things may change. But it's the understanding that things will not always remain the same because the tide is too dark. That's not to squish your hope, because my hope's not here, neither is yours. My hope is with him. And so is yours. It's understanding that people again are crying out because they still not only don't have hope, but they're trying to find esteem, and the esteem is self. Look, verse 18. It's a great verse. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. If it is possible. Some people are just not going to like you. Let me say that again, okay? You guys listening? Listen very carefully. Some people are just not going to like you. Trust me, I know this from my own experience. I don't know if it's the way I look. I don't know if it's because I'm a Christian. I don't know. Again, it could be different things. It could be talent. It could be status, position, opportunity. Something about you somebody's not going to like. Get over it. But that doesn't take away the responsibility that we have, does it? is to live peaceably. It is not to take it so much personally, because there is only one that you have to be accountable to. And we've already talked about him. He's the only one. But again, for us, it's so important that if possible, with anything that we can do, that we will live peaceably with all men. My responsibility. Still, we are to do all that we can. To those in the faith, as well as out. See, we're knuckleheads. My grandson, he's only 2. I said, Zane, you're a knucklehead. And then he goes home and he tells his dad, Papa called me knucklehead. So now I come, every time I see him, I say 2 things to him. Zane, you are a boy. Say, I am a boy. I am a boy. Now say, I'm a knucklehead. And he says, I am a knucklehead. Now, I'm teasing. I'm just goofing with him. But if you look at the wide scope of things, we're all knuckleheads. We're fallible. We make mistakes. I may say something that may cause you to think that's not very nice, though I might not have meant that. But see, grace now and love covers a multitude of sins. It's to start looking at each other in the church first of saying, you know, we're not perfect here, but we all worship the same King. The same Lord. So, and knowing that then is to give us the benefit of the doubt that sometimes somebody may come in here and they have a heavy burden. Or somebody may come in here and they only had 1 hour of sleep. Or somebody may come in here and just feel just that dark cloud. And they may say something to us. They may say something that may upset us. But instead of taking it in, unless it's something that really is obvious that it's something we need to change, like maybe you're calling them a knucklehead. But if it's just something that, again, that can be just covered with grace and love and think, you know, I don't know what they're going through right now, just pray for them. And now we're getting it. Because see, the enemy likes to divide. See, the enemy likes to say, you know why he called you a knucklehead? You're an idiot. He thinks you're an idiot. That's what he thinks. Remember when he said that and that and that? He thinks you're an idiot. Well, I don't think I like him. And now instead of a face of fellowship, we come in here and we have these masks on. Not am I true here, brothers and sisters? No. Open and naked. To love one another and give each other the benefit of doubt. To pray for each other. To be there for each other. Now, again, that's in-house. Because remember, the enemy loves to divide houses, especially churches and homes and countries. Now, in saying that, then, we understand what's going on here. We see his tricks, and we won't play that game. Now, we talked about the church. Now, let's talk about outside the church. It's the same thing. I don't know why the person drove by me and shook his fist at me. I don't know why. But now, it's how I react to that. I don't know why the people are scared in some ways and what they're saying on social media. Because, again, we're living in half-truths. Is what they're saying that the world is coming to an end now? We have a dictator? I would say 98% chance no. I leave the 2% because he is a knucklehead. But the thing is, that's not the way our country is made up. We won't stand for a dictator. It's not the way it works. So we have to understand, where are they coming from? Why do they feel this way? And pray for them. Not this fight fire with fire attitude. And maybe again, you're on the other side. Maybe you felt like the other person should have won. Then again, it comes down to praying. Praying that God works in and through whatever administration so that God would win. And again, we'll look at government next week. But in our place, it's very important that up to us that we live peaceably with all people. Look at verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Do not take revenge or retaliate on others. Put it in God's hands and let Him take care of it. To give place to wrath means has the idea of letting the law or God do justice, not us. Look at verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink, for in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Now, he's quoting from Proverbs 25. It's basically, if you will, kill them with kindness. The heap means to overwhelm one, that their conscience bring them to repentance to God. Or if not, understand that God's judgment's on them. Now, we need to take that serious. Sometimes we, again, get emotional in this. That we can get really upset when we see what's going on culturally. Regardless of what party you're associated with, again, you look across the aisle and you see, oh, that person, and then you give the verbs and the adjectives to describe. But I want you to take note of something. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, Paul says, and to give you who are troubled rest, and when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God, on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the power of his glory. Want me to read that again? See, we can become flippant sometimes. We can be all guilty of this. We don't see really what's going on. It's like sometimes we focus on the wrong thing. See, there's something more important than what's happening in our world today, what's happening spiritually. People are making choices all around us. It's to be in the presence of God or separated from Him from eternity. Those that will go to heaven and those that will go to hell. And for us as believers, we should not wish that on our worst enemies, that all would come to repentance, that all would come to the acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. He is the only one that we have hope in. He's the only one that can bring peace. He's the only one that brings joy. He's the only one that brings life. He's the only one to serve and to live for. And when others don't see it, you should actually feel sorry for them. You and I should be praying for them. You and I should weep for them. You and I should be praying for them. You and I have got to stop looking at it as separate from who and what we are. And it's hard for all of us. Especially when they sling mud. But they're lost. They have no hope. All their hope is wrapped up in this world. It's not for us. Verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The word overcome means conquer or get the victory. So if you will, do not let evil get the victory, but conquer evil with good. Good. Why? Because your God is good. Why? Because He has saved you because of His goodness and grace and love. He has done nothing but good towards humanity because He is good. And us being children of the King have now, He has declared, we too now are good. And we should show and reflect, if you will, our Father's heart in being good. Now, after the resurrection, D.L. Moody put a couple things together, and I kind of expounded on it. But he had this premise that he said that after the resurrection, Jesus summoned Peter. And he said to Peter, he said, "Peter, go find the man who pierced my side with a spear and tell him there's a quicker way to my heart. Find the man who crowned me with thorns and tell him that I would like to give him a crown of life. Find the man who whipped me till my skin broke open and tell him I would like to heal his pain and soothe his suffering. Find the man who put the purple robe on me and mocked me and tell him I would like to clothe him with righteousness. Find those who cursed me and spoke ill to my face and tell them if they come to me, I will speak well of them to my Father. Find those who condemn me to death and tell them I would like to give them life. And Peter, to those who denied me, if they follow me, I will be faithful." We worship a good, great, awesome God. He reveals His goodness daily. He reveals His sovereignty to us, church. As we see things happening around us, as things seem to be crazy around us, let us once again remind ourselves that not only that He's in control, but all things are working out together for good, especially to those who love Him. And for us, it's important that we continue to reveal the goodness of our God and His love, so that all may come to that place of repentance, that it's not in self-esteem, but it's in Christ's esteem. You struggling with that? I'll give you an exercise. Christ in me is my glory. Christ without, that's a different story. Pretty simple. Pretty easy to remember, though. Apart from Him, what do we have? Now, as we come to the communion table, we're reminded of these things, aren't we? In Luke chapter 22, in verse 14, it says, "When the hour had come, He sat down and the 12 apostles with Him. Then He brought to them with fervent desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then He took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And He took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. For you, for me. Wonderful, wonderful. But I want to remind you something here as we come to the communion table, where, again, as Protestants, we have this, or I should say evangelicals, thank you, is that we sometimes take it too symbolically. I mean, see, Jesus did this in such a way for us to contemplate, to think, to meditate on something. What is it, the truth of this, what elements mean, what they represent, but also what Christ represents in each of us. See, Christ is the healer. Christ is the Savior. Christ is your King. Christ is your God. And this small little display that we do, and I call it a display because in the scope of things, it's actually what's happening in heaven, is that when we do these elements, that there is something happening. That we are acknowledging who He is, what He's done for us, what He is doing for us, and what He is going to do. It's an everlasting thing on this earth. Time without moments, if you will. That it happens in each moment. That He's alive. And He's real. And He wants to reveal Himself to each of us. Is there a sin that you need to confess? Is there a sin you need to repent from? Is there a failure in your life to follow Him that you want to redevote your life to? Is there a hurt in your heart that needs to be healed? Is there brokenness in your life that needs to be mended? Is there relationships that you're struggling with that you're crying out to for help and go before Him? See, it's called communion for a reason. It means fellowship. Christ desires to fellowship with each of us here this morning. Wherever you find yourself right now, Jesus wants to meet with you right now. Come to this as holy, 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 holy communion. That something in God's realm is always working out. And really, think about this. When God's will is being done, Satan trembles. So contemplate, think on these things as we come to the table. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for this time that we can do this. We thank You for the opportunity. We thank You for the freedom. We thank You, Lord, for what it means to each of us. Lord, we just pray as we come before the communion table that You would just speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, work in each of us so that we may understand in our lives, Lord, what we need to confess and what we need to receive. Bless this time together, Father, we pray. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.